Blog Talk Radio.
About tonight's program. Welcome everyone to this edition of Christian Talk with T-Mar and Tasila and our special guest today. I'm very excited about this. Our guest is excited. I know that you guys are excited. Hi, Tasila. How are you today?
Hello. Hi. I want to say hi to all our friends and family all over the world. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. I know you're going to be blessed tonight. We got Prophet Bishop Dr. Jordan on, and you guys are going to have a good time. My friends and family and people were calling saying, well, what happened? Because we wanted to hear what he had to say. I said, tune in next week. He'll be back. They're excited to hear what he has to say. And so
That's
am
good.
I. So God bless you guys for tuning in.
Yes. And as always, we would like you to tell your family and friends to tune in tonight. 646-668-8537. Dial in. 646-668-8537. 7. Let them know that that's the number to call, or just click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tasila, or just click on whatever picture you see for Christian Talk, or the link, and listen from your computer, okay? Just listen from your computer. You can hear the entire program. You might see our post on Facebook, which you will see it on Facebook. You can click on that anytime during the week, tonight, and any day after tonight. And then you can you might see us on Instagram, Alignable, or Twitter. Also, remember that we have the Message of Life. It's on hsbn.tv. That's our show called The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain. So be sure to watch that. We're on a lot of your basic, you know, your social media, TV
live
shows,
streaming,
apps, and so forth. live streaming also. So, you know, tune in. You will be blessed. It's a blessing, okay? Also, come and worship with us. We are Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, and we're located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Our services start at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon every Sunday. So if you are in the California area, or basically if you're in the Inland Empire area in California, come and visit and worship with us. You will be blessed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't go away. We're going to be right back. Praise the Lord.
Let everything that has breath.
Also known as TNT, And you know, Pastor, wait a minute, hold on. What's going on? Do you hear that? Wait a minute.
I hear it all.
Everybody know by now what this means. It's time for a TNT moment right here on Christian Talk. And so let's get started with it. Pastor Tosila, what do we have for today?
Oh, we have a subject that a lot of times we don't talk about and we don't hear a lot about it, and that is a man is a threefold being, a body, soul, and spirit. And in Thessalonians 5:23 tells us that man is threefold being. As I walk along the pathway that the Lord has placed us all on to enter into the kingdom, and you know, you start worrying and interceding and praying for others to enter in the kingdom of God. And once I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, don't just pray for them to come to heaven, but pray for their body, their soul, and their spirit. Then the scripture came to my mind, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. And you know, we all know that man has a spirit, you know, because we always talk about it. But God integrates our minds and emotions and will to interact with the spirit and body of God. He takes all our different parts. And I just wanted to kind of caution all Christians, because a lot of times we don't talk about this kind of stuff in church. That's why I love Christian Talk, because we get to bring out things that, you know, generally you don't talk about when you're at the pulpit. My caution, is to keep your mind in this time. We see a lot of mental illness, and it's legit. You know, we see bipolar, and everybody got a new names for all types of things that they're putting titles on now. And but you have to keep your mind and your body and your soul, which is your body is your flesh, and your soul is your mental. And you have to keep it in subjection to your spirit man, because they both can team up and vote you, your spirit man, off the island. A lot of times people don't know that they're in a warfare. And I'm like, what is going on? I gave my life to the Lord. I love the Lord, but I'm having this battle. Paul had it also, and it was his flesh. And this is the main struggle a lot of Christians have. The word says, my people perish from a lack of knowledge. And 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says, now I discipline my body and make it my slave. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He goes on to say he practices self-control in order to win. Win what? He said it. He tells you what he's going to win, a victor's crown that will last forever. He is not playing around or allowing his flesh to rise up on him and take control. He says, I don't run just for exercise or the box like one throwing aimless punches. He is telling us this is not a game, but I train like a champion, like an athlete. I subdue my body. This is obviously a metaphor of placing the desires of one's body as second place to the desires of the Holy Spirit. And that is called dying to self. They don't like to teach you to die to self. They feel like you can do whatever, you know, and grace of God, you'll be out of it, you know, and you'll be okay by the grace. And that's not what God is really teaching us. He's teaching us to die to your own self and keep your flesh under his control, so that Paul was saying that after, if he doesn't do that, then after preaching the good news to others, I myself will be disqualified. I don't want to be disqualified because I just did whatever but told everybody else what to do, but I didn't do it. And that's his fight against the flesh. The flesh wants it all, and it is never satisfied. And you know, the world knows that. That's what all the commercials is about. That's what the billboards is about. That's what you can't even look at anything on the internet without something flashing up, telling you how to live, what to buy, what to do. You know, it's just always infiltrating your mental state. And the old body, it's the vehicle that carries our souls and spirits while on earth. Keep in mind that this is like a 10-hour subject that we are just only going to be hitting a little bit of it to get you to start thinking.
Right.
Now, our spirit, man, it differs from our soul because our spirit is always pointed towards and exists exclusively for God. So God is a spirit, and we are also spirit beings, whereas our souls can be self-centered. The joy, comfort, and peace of God's presence. You know, when you feel the presence of the Lord, I remember your one sister used to say, oh, I feel good, y'all. I feel the presence. I feel all over me. Well, that is your spirit. Yeah. The joy, comfort, and peace of God's presence can only be experienced through our spirits. Your spirit is saved. That's why Paul says, make sure all three are presented blameless before God. Even in the word, it says, your soul is yours. It's the word says, your soul is yours, Mr. and Mrs. Self-Will, but the spirit, it belongs to the Lord. Your soul and spirit will be with you whether you're alive, dead, or in the afterlife. That's why it would behoove you to put on the mind of Christ and think his thoughts. I really never knew how all this went until one day I decided, I said, I'm going to seek the Lord on a real serious issue that was going on in my life that I had, and I needed an answer, but I needed it really fast. But the Lord knew that. So I just determined in myself to seek God for the answer. And that night after praying, I fell asleep. And I was awakened with Jesus standing at the foot of my bed. Woo! I mean, my spirit nearly jumped out of my body with adoration. Not any fear or anything like that. I mean, pure adoration. I began to praise him with all my heart, calling him my chief, my Lord, my king, my commander. I knew the real boss was standing before me. And my heart was jumping with joy. Then he began to speak to me about what I was praying about and telling me how to move forward. Then I heard a voice say to the Lord, but what about, and I looked and my flesh was still laying down, asleep in the bed, trying to get in a conversation. And at that point, I was separated where I could see the difference between my spirit and my flesh. And my flesh had nothing to do with what we were talking about. So keep your spirit, man, built up because your mind and your flesh will bolt you out and try to take control. We as mature Christians should always be working on our minds, keeping the word of God forming our thoughts in our lives where we decide to forgive or not. That's where everything is in your soul and in your mind and your emotions. That's where you make all your decisions. That's where you decide if you want to forgive someone or not. Do you want to continue to hate them or not? Do you want to be healed from trauma or not? Or to hold on to it, to hold grudges or not, to love or not, to repent or not. This is what will be judged. Your soul, our self-will, this is what will live eternally. And God will look to see if he sees Jesus inside of you, which is your only ticket into the kingdom of God. And did you learn to love? So even though Paul said it once, he meant it. when he said, make sure your whole body, soul, and spirit is blameless at the time of the coming of our Lord Jesus. Allow him to sanctify you wholly. It's an act of God, but it's still your self-will. You got to let go and allow God to have your flesh. Like, you know, sometimes people want to do certain things. I've seen the Lord want to heal people, and I see people want to hold on to that. They like that,
yeah.
Whatever that is. They like the cane. They like walking with it. They like the attention
yeah.
the cane brings. So it's all about allowing him to sanctify you wholly. Just submit to Christ and allow God to finish and do his work, because you do have a free will. And just
yeah.
allow God to take care of all those parts. Don't just give him, oh, my spirit man is saved. I know I'm saved. Okay, act like it. Then let him save your flesh. Let him save your mind also. Amen, Brother T?
Amen. Amen. You see, here's the thing. The Almighty, Holy, Self-Existing One created himself as the triune God, having three parts,
mm-hmm.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And because we
mm-hmm.
were originally created in his likeness and image, he made us three-part beings, body, soul, and spirit. Nevertheless, when we
mm-hmm.
look at ourselves, all we see is one person, because our body, soul,
mm-hmm.
and spirit are one while in the body, while they're in the body. We're one.
Mm-hmm.
However, because of the fall of man, there are conflicts that we have within our three parts, because our bodies, souls, and spirits doesn't always agree, although we are living in the same body. Here's what Paul said
mm-hmm.
in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. I do what I hate,
mm-hmm.
in other words. If then I
mm-hmm.
do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That's in his flesh. Sin in the flesh and the soul
mm-hmm.
also.
Mm-hmm.
For I know
mm-hmm.
that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, which I don't want to do, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. We have a battle going on within us, because we're not
Amen.
In agreement. Body, soul, and spirit
mm-hmm.
is not in agreement. You see, God put Father, Son, and Holy Spirit inside of Jesus. Yet, if you were to look at Jesus, you would see one person, because he is one Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The
yes.
Holy Spirit descended.
Amen.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit descended upon him. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and Jesus himself being the Son of God are all one, one Lord,
mm-hmm.
as it is written in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, because it is God's will for all of his creation to know that Jesus is Lord. Yeshua,
mm-hmm.
the Messiah, is Yahweh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And the reason God had to make himself in three persons, understand this, the reason that God had to do that was simply because of the fall of man. If mankind had never fallen, God would not have to operate in three persons. He would simply be God. God's three person parts of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is his offices, his positions brought forth out of himself in order to unite and renew the three parts of man so that God himself can dwell in them like he dwells in Jesus. And then we will all be one according to the prayer of Jesus Christ in John 17. And we love that prayer. Pastor Tasila, there's so much more that I can talk about. And I think I'm going to probably preach on this in the near future because there's so much more to this. But in the meantime, we'll be right back. We'll be right back with our guests right after this. Don't go away. You guys have been waiting for the one and only, I'm going to give you a big intro here, drum roll, the one and only Dr. Daryl Jordan. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Good night, good evening. How y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing great, man.
Good deal, I'm glad to be on again tonight.
Amen, and we're glad to have you on. For those of you who don't know, Dr. Jordan, he's the founder of Lifelines Ministries, and hopefully he'll tell us a little bit more about that tonight. And he travels all over the world preaching and teaching the Word of God, teaching the gospel of the kingdom in kind of a different way. And I know that, you know, you're also a prophet. because I've heard you prophesy before, and it's a blessing how the Lord can call us and have us operate in different offices at the, according to how the Spirit lead. And it's just good to see that He's using you in more than one way. So, Pastor, I'm calling you Pastor. I guess you are. You're the founder of Black Lines Ministry. So
yes,
you're
sir.
That too. so, you know, hey, welcome to the program. And we're just anxious to see where God is going to take us tonight. So you got the steering wheel. And I know that you're being led by the Lord.
Thank you, and I say good evening to you all. And yes, I, when you talk about walking in different offices, and I'm a strong believer that the Holy Ghost don't discriminate.
Right.
So I believe when we become filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we become unlimited. I was sharing with somebody that the only reason I was sharing with them, I say the reason I can prophesy and lay hands is because I believe it. And the only reason you can't is because you don't believe it.
That's right.
The only thing limit us is our mindset, is the way we think. God is not a respecter of person.
True.
The same Holy Ghost that dwells within me dwells within all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, well, pray and ask God, I want a greater anointing. You got the greatest anointing you'll ever have. How about I pray and you get a greater understanding of the anointing?
Mm-hmm.
He said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. A lot of times it's because we don't understand, or we don't ask God for clarity in who we are, or even, you know, he said we can desire the spiritual gifts. And it's just a matter of believing that you have it. He's not a respecter of person. You know, if you have more than one kid, you wouldn't give one something that you wouldn't give the others, you know. But it's all about how you decide to operate and what you decide to believe in when it comes to believing whether or not you can operate in that gift. I know we talked last week about just anxiety and stuff like that. And I found something in Matthew 6 and 25, the cure for anxiety.
Okay.
You know, Matthew 6:25, and I began to see some things that I have never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So first, I'll go to 1 Peter. I'm gonna go to 1 Peter first. Go to 1 Peter. So let me just do this, because I don't want to prolong the time. So 1 Peter 5 and 7 talks about casting your cares, your anxiety, on the Lord. And one of the things I found, let me go there. I think it's better if I go there. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, And I read from the Amplified because it gives me a greater understanding. It says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on Him. And this is something I caught. For He cares for you.
Mm-hmm.
He cares about you with deepest affection, and watches over you very carefully. So one translation says He cares for you. So that's kind of like, man of God, I think you have control of whether or not the people have control over whether or not the people can hear me.
Mm-hmm.
So So one way I explained it, I was telling somebody, so you want your house painted, so I'm going to come and paint your house. I'm going to paint it for you. So now your house is painted. So God is saying, listen, and this is what I discovered. God is saying, listen, I care for you. And remember last week, care is not a very good word for a believer, for a born-again believer, because it comes with so much anxiety. Care is the beginning of anxiety and all that kind of stuff. So he say, well, listen, I didn't design you to care. I designed you to love. Because there's so much that comes with caring. He says, so you love and I'll care. And I'll care. You guys hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you better now. Yeah.
Yeah. So he say, you love and I'll care. He say, I'll care for you because I didn't design you to care. Because he wanted us to have rest in him, our worry. He said, I didn't design you that way, so I didn't give you the ability to care. If I would have gave you the ability, then I would allow it. Pick it up. And it's funny how the woman of God was saying how Paul say we beat our bodies into subjections like the athletes. And one thing about it is that becomes a mental deal. That's why we have so many different things going on now, because people start caring and then they start worrying and it turns into anxiety. And the next thing you know, we dealing with mental illnesses and things like that. So he say, cast all your cares and worries and anxieties on me. Let me care for you. I can handle caring. You can't. Now, this is what I discovered today. So I'm going to go to Romans. I just want to make sure I don't go, I want to make sure I get something out there before our time. I'm going to go to Romans 14 and 17. And I found this today. You know, we read the scripture and we think we find something for the first time. It's been there the whole time. And we'd be looking like somebody just put that there. So,
that's true.
So here's what the scripture says. Romans 14 and 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking what one's like, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, woman of God, what I come to realize, I've been trying to figure out what is the kingdom of God like. And you say, this is it right here. Listen, he's not saying what it's like. He say, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking what one's like, but it's righteousness and peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. So he's telling us that's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. So I say, wow, God, that's pretty good. So, and I was sharing with somebody, isn't it amazing how we spend our time trying to get to a place that's in us? We spend our time seeking Jesus, and he's on the inside of us. And I think as soon as we realize where he is, and what a kingdom of heaven is, we probably won't struggle as much as we struggle. Matthew 6 and 33. Matthew 6 and 33.
So above all, constantly, chase after the realm of God's kingdom.
Come on. He says this. He says, but first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after the kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and the character of God, and all these things will be given to you. All what things? Peace, righteousness, and joy, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may not be new to anybody else, but it was new to me. It's like, so I realized something today. When I start being anxious and worried and concerned, I just stepped out of the will. I'm no longer in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said that's the kingdom. That is what the kingdom is. Peace, joy, righteousness, and the Holy Spirit. So when I lose my peace, when I let something take my peace, I let something take me out the will.
Right.
I let something take me out the will because now my focus is not on the Lord anymore. And one thing I'm learning is I have to learn, we have to learn, that we have to keep our mind stayed on Jesus. We have to keep our mind on the Lord. And one of the things I learned, in order to stay in this place, I have to always remind myself of the works he done. That if I'm righteous, right. Not if, but I'm righteous only because of Jesus. And so I learned from there that I've been using my faith somewhat for the wrong reason. I've been using my faith for wanting to get healed. And I wonder why sometimes I struggle with getting healed and free from different things. And the Lord had to tell me, that's because you're not believing in the works of the Lord. See, a lot of times we believe in the healing instead of the one who performed the healing. Once I believe, once I come to the place to realize that Jesus, that he bore, he was wounded, he took on all this stuff, he became, you know, knew no sin, but yet he became. When I realized that he performed the works, then the enemy can't trick me out of what I possess. When I come to the realization that I can't obtain the prize, that it has been given to me as a gift. Righteousness was given to me as a gift. My healing was given to me as a gift. So if righteousness, peace, and joy, if divine healing was given to me as a gift, then why am I striving for healing?
Yeah,
I shouldn't have to strive for my healing.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a part of it. So instead of striving for it, all I got to do is just receive it.
Right. And then going back to you saying about having a form of godliness, but denying its power,
like you said, we have
to believe in that power. even the Lord is saying, even being around people that don't think like that or trust him or believe in him have nothing to do with such people because they can steal what you have because they have a form of godliness on the outside. But inside, they're not really trusting or believing God for the things that they need, you know. They deny his real power. And like you said, if you stick with the power, don't reject the power that can make them godly or make us whole in what we need.
Mm. That's right.
And the power of God.
Yeah, and Jesus say that the work is finished. But sometimes I would hang out with people who say God going to heal you. And I used to be scratching my head saying, but now, okay, so God going to heal me. But yet I was believing the work was finished. And I couldn't receive the finished product because I was still believing going to.
Going to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he say the work is complete.
Instead of I know God's going to heal me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then we start praying like God going to heal us.
Mm-hmm.
And God say, listen, you don't need your faith for that one. What you need faith for is in the Son of the Living God, that he already did it.
Mm-hmm.
Believe the words say, have faith in God.
Yeah,
have faith in God that the work is complete.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you believe that the work is complete is to cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And he can handle the cares. And when you start casting your cares on him, now you start living like nothing really matters to you. I love my children, but nothing really matters. Why? Because if God could pull me out of all he pulled me out of, surely he can deliver them from whatever they get into. And now I start living like I'm like my God is not going to do anything, that my God has done everything.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of a sudden. Excuse me, I'm not having anxiety attacks because I'm not expecting God to heal me. I'm thanking God that I'm healed.
Yeah.
I went from, you know, praying, oh, Lord, I know you can do it, God, I know you're able, to where now I sound like, God, I thank you, Lord. God, I bless your holy name. Lord, I give you glory and I praise you. See, now you're going into a praise. You don't got time to ask him for nothing because you know you got everything. He said, I have given you everything pertaining to life and godliness.
Right.
He said, being transformed by the entire renewing of your mind. Come on, woman of God.
Yeah, and being anxious for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I believe that's where God is bringing us now into a place of understanding. When Jesus said the work was finished, the work was finished. Healing has already been passed down to us. I have to bring my mind in alignment with God's word.
Yeah, the growth and the maturity.
Yes. Yes. And that's when you start casting your cares. You say, God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. And I always start everything. This is what I learned. Worrying about things on the outside of me affects things on the inside of me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But when God starts dealing with the things on the inside of me, then I triumph on the thing over the things on the outside of me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my ways are not your ways. They are far more greater. He said, the kingdom of God, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. His kingdom has come inside of me, joy, peace, and righteousness, the kingdom of heaven resides in me. We see it as if sometimes people see it as if it's going to set somewhere on the outside of us. No, it's on the inside.
That's funny you said that, because I like that scripture when the Lord said, when you divide up all this land and country, don't give the Levites any of it, because I am their reward. And God is trying to say that for us, he's our reward. So we should be looking to him, looking at him, spending time with him. That's where you get that love, that joy, that peace, that comfort when you have a relationship. He is our reward. And that is why a lot of people don't, they have a lot of anxiety. You have anxiety because you live outside of the reward of God. You live outside of him, and in those portals outside of him is all of that anxiety and mental illness and all those open stronghold doors that are open doorways. But within him, that's why it's Psalms 91, I will keep him in perfect peace, you know, if he that abides in the shadow of the Almighty. There's where you get all this reward from, when you're abiding, like you said, and the anointing and under him, and keeping our mind stayed on him. And I think that's why he allows. He allows certain things to happen, so people will be like, "Oops, let me get back in here in my secret place. Get back, you know, pray." I used to get up and sit. Let me get back to that again.
And when that happened, we hurry up and get back in the place, and that's what I say, you know, and that's when you start realizing that, you know what, when I'm in his presence, and here's the funny thing, we really can never leave his presence, but it's all about my mind.
That's true.
But we leave in our minds. We let that flesh rise, and then we remove ourselves by allowing our flesh to rise up, and the thoughts in our mind, we don't keep them in subjection to Christ. And those have become little weapons against us. We're the ones that move, but God is always there. He never leaves or forsakes us. We forsake him and move out and get big, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Big Britches and take care of. I got this. I don't need you on this one, Lord.
And that's why he told me, if you keep your mind stayed on me, I keep you in perfect peace. When you lose your peace, your mind not on me. When you lose your joy, you're out of my presence. You're out of the will. I will that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. So when I start, when my health start looking some kind of way, maybe I'm drifting out of the will. And I thought drifting out of the will is, you know, a lot of times we look at kind of like sexual things and stuff like that. Sometimes God deal with us in our thoughts, because you're not thinking kingdom-minded anymore. And he say, hey, need you to come back over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you feeling anxious. You got some anxiety coming in. You got some things going on. You're drifting out of my presence. You're drifting out of the will. Need you to come back in the will. When you start getting that peace again, you know you're back in his will. He say, in my presence there's a fullness of joy, and at my right hand there's pleasures forevermore.
And that is really interesting. That scripture came across my mind while you were talking.
Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and love, joy, peace, and righteousness shall be added unto you all the more. And the more you stay in his presence, the more joy and peace, the more you begin to understand that you are the righteousness of God. And righteousness is not something that we do. It's something we believe. When I believe that I'm righteous through the blood of Jesus, that's the biggest problem right there. Mm-hmm. We believe we're righteous only through the blood of Jesus. When I believe that I'm healed only because of Jesus, not because I spoke something over my life, not because I laid hands on myself, but because of Jesus. And when I get it, when a person get it in their head that thick, that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, there's nothing the enemy can do to shake you.
That's right.
But if I start thinking it's something I've done, it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, that's why I love that scripture about him tearing open the veil and for us to come in, because we can go into the secret place because of that blood, and we can only come in there because of the blood. So a lot of times people feel guilt and shame, and you don't know what I've done. That's what Jesus did for you. He made it so that you can come into the secret place of the Most High, and you can live under the shadows of the Almighty because of that blood. And you don't go in, like he said, with your own righteousness. You go in humble, letting the Lord know that it's him and not you. And that's what I say when I go in. I'm going in. I'm coming in under the blood. Here I come, Lord. Thank you for your provision.
There you go.
That's how we get in there. But you can't go in there, Lord, I gave somebody 5 cents. And I was good, and I did. It's nothing about us. It's all about that blood.
Right. You know, Doctor, we have about 3 minutes and a half. So do you have maybe a ending prayer or a special word for somebody out there, for our listeners?
I pray for each and every one of us that we would allow God to really renew our minds to such a place that we will receive the promises of God, and we will no longer wrestle and toil with the things of God, but we will learn to really fully receive. And I speak the blessings of Abraham be upon each and every one of us that is on the line tonight. I come against every demonic force that has come against our families. In the name of Jesus, I speak unexpected blessings. I speak supernatural divine intervention for each and everyone that is on this line tonight. Heal. I speak healing to each and everyone. And what I mean by healing, healing to your mind, that you will accept your healing now in the name of Jesus. Not later, but now, that your healing was there before the situation was there. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once again, this was very rich. Very rich tonight. And I pray I'm sure that many people is being blessed by this program tonight by Dr. Jordan. And we just appreciate you so much. And we're so glad that you agreed to come back on the show so that you could finish, and you know, with the things that God has given you. And we pray for you and your ministry. And, Lord, we ask that you bless Dr. Jordan and his ministry, everything that he set out to do, Lord, as he's being led by your Spirit. Let him be successful. Let him move forward and not backwards. And help him to accomplish what your word has set out for him to do. Let him fulfill his destiny. Complete the book that you've written for him in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor Tasila, any last-minute words? We got about a minute.
Yeah, I really appreciate Dr. Jordan. I love his spirit. I thank the Lord for him and all the people that he touches and that God has placed under his anointing and for him to minister to. And I'm really super happy to have him back on here. He doesn't realize how much of a blessing he is to others.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are suffering right now. And I would just say to the people, just get in your secret place. Jesus is still the answer.
Yeah.
He was and he still is the answer. to all
Absolutely.
The ills, and he wants us to abide in that secret place. Don't get out. That's why a lot of things
yeah.
are happening, because God doesn't want you to just get what you're praying about. He wants you to stay in relationship with him. Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Pastor Dr. Jordan.
Thank you,
Chaplain
Dr. Jordan, and everybody
that's Jordan, man of God.
I know, Father.
All of blessings.
God bless you.
Anointed Jordan.
Yes. We'll see everyone next week.
Amen.
God bless everybody. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.